Welcome to the Revenue Marketing Report powered by CaliberMind. This is your podcast for B2B marketers who are looking to level up. I'm your host, Kamala Thompson, and today I'm joined by Deb Reps. Deb, please tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, Kamala, absolutely. Thanks for having me first. So I am a career veteran in sales. I've been in sales for a scary 37 years. So right after school, I went in, and it's where I built my career and my professional life. And I've been both an IC and a leader. And currently, having been in leadership roles the last 5 years or so, I am a fractional CRO and having so much fun.
I'm really excited to talk to you about this topic, given your background too with the women in revenue. So I'm so excited to talk about the double standard in leadership. Does it exist?
It's real. Yeah. So I'm also a co-founder of Women in Revenue, and it's an organization that is focused on supporting and educating and helping badass women grow in their careers. We are 5 years old, and we have over 7,000 members globally in 64 countries. So, and we're growing all the time. So for anyone interested in joining, the website is www.womeninrevenue.org. And it is a free membership organization that offers mentorship and many other types of, networking and lots of services. So feel free to join. And it's absolutely a double standard. Those 7,000 women share the sentiment. I think that just being a woman in revenue, just forget about the leadership piece for a minute. Most of the women who are sellers or in customer success or even marketing are very often on male-dominated teams, and specifically on the sales side of the house. I think that the percentages are growing and getting better, but typically they are a pretty small percentage of the team. And and there's absolutely a double standard. They're being paid less, and there are all sorts of challenges that women, struggle with to just be equal professionally.
And I think what frustrates me, a lot of the diversity plans for startups are focused on recruiting more women. And I'm like, we're 50% of the population. How did we get here? How did it get so disparate? And then I also think of the different coaching techniques I see between coaching male leaders and women leaders. What have you observed before I start talking about what I've seen?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think first thing, I think recruiting is just really about someone's network and who they're reaching out to and where they're looking. There are lots and lots of women in revenue generation roles. And it's kind of thinking outside of your own personal box and looking, for creating a balanced team with diversity, honestly. Because comes a much not only richer experience for every member of the team. And it really is true, having all those different opinions and different backgrounds really brings a richness to the table for everyone's experience. But it also brings an opportunity for people to be able to really learn from each other. So the women are out there, and it's just an effort to go out and make that happen. And I think the more women that we bring into leadership, the more women that come onto revenue teams, because people hire people who are, somewhat similar to them. I know for myself, I've always really focused on having a really balanced team and a very diverse team in a lot of different areas.
I'm so glad you brought up recruiting, because I think an easy out for a lot of people is, well, we just hire from within our network because we know the people on our teams are working well. And there is more risk to hiring people you don't know. However, it's not if they have a good reputation, good references, is it really that much of a risk?
Right. I mean, that's the question. I don't think that it is. I think that it's better to, like I said, bring in new talent that is diverse than just bringing in the people that you know. You always want to bring and work with people that you have immediate trust with, but there are absolutely advantages to going the other way. And it's really not that hard. And I think that most leaders, if they've had leadership training, one of the things that we're trained to do is to spot talent. And you know, hiring well and firing well are two really very important skills that leaders need to bring to the table. And then, of course, the third is really just, and this was the topic that you mentioned, just, you know, coaching well and, you know, spending time investing in people to help them achieve the best version of themselves, help them achieve their personal goals. And with a leader taking that kind of approach in understanding what motivates someone, you know, where their opportunities for improvement are, we all have them, every one of us. And then coaching, you know, towards them is really that winning formula for success. And it's very, very easy to do for whether somebody is a male or a female.
So before we go there, I do have to voice a pet peeve that I see people. So I've heard a lot of smaller companies really use this, they're not a good culture fit crutch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'd like to challenge that if we could and say, are you uncomfortable because they communicate differently? They're not from your background, you've got some a hard time connecting on a personal level, or is it because of their skill sets and track record? Food for thought.
Definitely. I once worked with somebody who said, we shouldn't be trying to make people fit into our culture. We should be hiring people who can bring culture to the company.
Yes, I love that. I love that. And it's such a simple little mental gymnastic to do. It's not like all the flips and backflips you need to do for some things. But
exactly,
that's such a great way to position it. So the coaching piece, I love this because I have tons of pet peeves here too. What are some behaviors you've seen or differences you've seen in men coaching women versus men coaching men in some circumstances? And how can we challenge and just reposition that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, a great example is, you know, people being uncomfortable with women speaking directly to other people. So that is one of the biggest things that kind of strikes me for, you know, a coachable moment is when I see a lot of men coaching women to, you know, be softer, don't be so direct. You know, people are, you know, saying that you're bitchy. You know, I hear a lot of that kind of behavior.
Shrill. That's one of my least favorite words.
Yeah. And it's just women who are speaking directly, just speaking their mind. When men do that, other men typically don't ever. It's a pretty rare thing that I've seen in the workplace where they're being coached in that moment. It's usually women. You know, you're being too bossy. You know, and it's kind of the ridiculous, but that right there is the double standard that I see a lot. And typically you don't have women coaching other women on that topic.
No, and I've even seen some pretty toxic behavior between women who respond negatively to direct speech. And it wasn't I'm thinking about two other individuals. It wasn't aggressive. I just took it as a statement and other people took offense to it. But I remember myself early in my career doing the same thing and reacting, and I really had to catch myself. So I think if we're not mindful about our own reactions and wondering where those are coming from, it's really hard to catch it when it's happening.
It is. Yeah, it really is. And I think that lends itself to really people who are more experienced versus less experienced. And I think it leads to the discussion around just the way that people are coddling today. Coddling employees and not speaking directly, but speaking kind of around topic. And I think that, and that's just kind of the new era of management that is, that is showing up these days, instead of just being able to have kind of, direct professional conversations, always with the, obviously kindness behind it. That's important. That intention of kindness and wanting to help, obviously. So there's a tone there, but there's also kind of this overcompensation that I think that has been happening in the workplace of being so careful, to just, say it like it is.
Yeah, I haven't been very careful now that I'm kind about it though. I think it's important to know your own values and what you're looking for and communicate it clearly, or people are going to be confused and disappointed. I see that happen a lot where just expectations are entirely misaligned because we're dancing around instead of just saying, I really value somebody who aligns their priorities with mine, and it's okay not to know things, but please tell me right away if you're stuck and we can get you some help instead of working on something else. As an example.
definitely. Yeah. And I just think that's, and that shows up in, in a variety of different ways. I mean, that's kind of a new style of leadership. I also value people who just speak directly, even if it's something that I disagree with. I'm completely okay with that and want the openness to be able to talk about, hey, this is, what I see and why I see it this way. And, and then finding a way to align, whether it's aligning to their, opinion or mine or somewhere in between. But I appreciate that direct, honest, collaborative kind of communication. And I definitely, that's my personal approach. I don't know if that's because I'm a woman necessarily, but that's definitely my personal approach to working with my teams and, and just being really authentically me. I think it's great when people bring their personalities to the table. And again, I like the diversity of opinion. And so it's great when there are an equal number of, for example, men and women around the table and the conversation is lively. I'm actually right now working with a company that is predominantly it's woman owned and it's predominantly largely women who are employees of the organization. And I feel like I'm in an alternative world in a really good way. it's really, really interesting to be having, a couple of men who I work with who are really the minority, at the organization. It's fun.
I'm thinking of specific scenarios where people got really uncomfortable and I got the opportunity to say, yeah, it's tough, isn't it? that is, I do take, I shouldn't admit it, but I do take some joy in observing those situations.
Yeah, no, totally. I get that. And, you know, one of the ways that when I talk on topic, and I speak a fair amount on this topic, but when I speak on topic to, you know, male colleagues or clients, and they talk about the struggles, for example, to, you know, hire women, I always recommend not only just, you know, looking outside of your network, it was, we talked about earlier, but I also suggest looking at places like Women in Revenue. We have a Slack channel, for example, of job opportunities, and men can absolutely not only join Women in Revenue as allies, but that, you know, they absolutely can recruit from that community as well, and people, you know, definitely appreciate that. And I think, again, it's kind of about networking. Right. Mm-hmm. That was the birth child behind that organization. It was around women helping other women, you know, standing on our shoulders, if you will, helping, coaching, mentorship, and networking with other women. And I cannot tell you the countless stories of women who had advanced their career through mentorship, have, you know, been able to, for example, you know, make more money because they had a mentorship conversation with a woman. They were able to actually negotiate 20K, 30K more. Wow. In their contract. Yeah. I mean, we have so many stories like that. And that's one of the cool things, is it's not only, you know, the networking for job opportunities, but also just how to, you know, stand up on the soft skills side, how to, you know, stand up for yourself and negotiate for yourself. And I see behind the scenes at so many companies, having been in leadership for so long, I see behind the scenes how many, you know, the percentage of men and women making the same amount of money. And it's startling. It's startling.
Unfortunately, I'm not surprised, and I'm sure we'll touch on it briefly in our next topic for tomorrow, which is how to be heard as the only woman on your executive team.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to the Revenue Marketing Report. Please tell two friends, subscribe, download, whatever you can helps. And for those of you looking for more great content like this, check out CaliberMind.com.